Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see you guys. Grateful to be here. My name is Pastor Chris, one of the pastors here at Cowie Baptist. Pastor Jason is away with spring break, sharing some time with family, and just grateful to be able to fill a pulpit this morning for him. And we're continuing into our study in Exodus. And as we've studied and have looked at some different passages already, you know, the story of Exodus, it's a great story. But it's not just like a great story, it's a story of great history and a lot of things that have happened, but it's not just a historical story, but it's really a foundational story for God's people, for the nation of Israel. It's a transformational story for them. It's a story that really changes the trajectory of their life. It really answers a lot of key important questions that we all wrestle with and we all talk about. Or think about at different times. Like, who are we? Why are we here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Like, what's God's purpose for our life? And like any good story, sometimes we can get lost in those stories. Anybody ever been to a movie or can identify with their children when they're watching a movie? They're so lost in that story. They're so captured by the storyline, the characters, and the different things, the plot, all that's going on, the excitement, the anticipation. And like, it doesn't matter if you've told them 14 times to go to their room or to turn off the TV or dinner's ready, they don't hear anything. It doesn't matter if there's a siren, if there's an atomic bomb that's went off, like they don't hear anything because they are lost in this story. Anybody ever experienced that with their children or themselves, right? Or to some capacity? Yeah. Or there's the other way of getting lost in a story where you're watching a movie, you're at the movie theater, or you're watching at home, and all of a sudden your mind goes somewhere else. You're like, oh no, did I turn off the alarm or did I turn off the oven? Did I lock the car doors? Do we have everybody? Like, we kind of check out and we lose track of the story and we get lost in something else until we finally run that thought down. And we get back to the story and we're like, oh no, how did they break up? What happened? Why is he in love with her now? Like, we end up getting lost because our train of thought has taken us elsewhere or a different route. Well, we are leaning into a story, and like every good story, we don't want to get lost. We don't want our train of thought to run somewhere or to a different place. But we also want to make sure we got the details right. We want to make sure that we are leaning in to the word of God. And so we're going to see a story, right? And this is a story. It's a story to tell. The title of today's message, A Story to Tell. And we're going to be in Exodus chapter 10. And this is a great story, right? It's a great story for the nation of Israel. There's a lot of great things. It answers a lot of questions. And it's even a great story for us to understand. For us to understand that it's not just a great story, but there's transformation that happens, right? There's transformation that happens for the nation of Israel. And we know that God's word, as we read in Hebrews, right? God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And as we lean into today's story, that's my hope. That's my hope, that we will be receptive to receive what God has for us today. So we're going to read the first two verses of Exodus 10. So please stand with me. The words will also be on the screen. And after we read these two pieces of scripture, we're going to read from Isaiah aloud together. A reading from the word of God, Exodus chapter 10. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart in the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandsons how I've made a mockery of the Egyptians, and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Isaiah 40, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Pray with me. Oh, holy God, you are so good and so great. God, you are mighty and powerful. God, and we need you. God, we desire, God, to hear from you and not from man. God, I desire that I decrease and you increase. God, would you feed us, that it would nourish our souls, God, that it would transform us from the inside out, that your word, God, your truth, your promises, God, will encourage us on this journey. God, would save those that are lost and far off, God, and will continue to be our guide, that it would be the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, we need you. We love you. Continue to bless this time, God, for your glory and for our good. We pray all this in the powerful and the mighty and the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we've been reading the Exodus story, and the first point that I want us to see, the first point that I want to bring out for you today is the importance that we, point number one, know the story, right? We are called to know the story. We are called to be men and women of God's word. We are to continue to dig into the word of God. So God told Moses to know this story, to remember this story. Why? Because he told him that he was to tell it, right, in the hearing of his sons and his grandsons, that he had to repeat this story. Anybody love oral presentations in school, right, to get up and talk? Yeah, me either, right? I don't know how, like, God is, he's funny. Like, how am I here? But, right, but God has called each and every one of us, right? God called Moses to share the story. God calls us to share the story, right? And we know this is the story of Exodus, right? The story of the Israelites, of God freeing them, God using an unfit vessel like Moses and using him to lead the people out of Egypt to freedom, to a promised land. And so God was using them. We see this big story, but it's part of an even bigger story. A greater story, the story from creation all the way to Christ and Christ's return. And so we are to be people of the story. It's important that we understand. It's important that we dig into the word of God. You know, like we read, or I read to you guys in Hebrews 4, of the word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's living and active. Right? I've heard it put this way, that the word of God is the only book that does not have a shelf life. The word of God is the only book that if you memorized it front to back in all detail, right, complete, perfect detail, you can't take the word of God and put it on a shelf and say, I've got it all figured out. Because like the scripture says, it's living and active. How many of you have ever read and been very familiar with a parable, a message, a teaching in the scripture, and you're like, yeah, I've known that forever. And then it's like later down the road, you read it again, and you're like, oh, I never saw that. Anybody ever, like, how awesome is that? Like, how just that alone is proof, right, that it's living inactive. It's continuing to minister to us, and we continue as we know God, as we know the word, it continues to reveal new layers and new depths and new richness of his grace and his mercy, of his love, and in the bigger picture of the story of creation to Christ in Christ's return. And so we see that there is a weight or even a responsibility that Moses had. He tells Moses, the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs among them. And like any good story, I mean, the story of Exodus, right, is full of of roller coaster rides, up and down of emotions, right? Of special effects and miracles, like all the things that make a great story, right? And if we're not careful, we start to put ourselves in the story. We start to say, "Oh man, I want to be like Moses." Well, Moses isn't the hero of the story, is he? Right? The details of the story, the details of God's word, the truth of God's word, it matters. If we get it wrong, we mess up and we start to think, "Oh, Moses is the hero." We start to put ourselves in spots that we shouldn't put ourselves in. So here's a story when I was thinking about this, a story of my own life, just a personal story, right, where the details mattered. My wife and I, we met at college at WCU, Western Carolina University. We met, and the first time we hung out, we went, she picked the Greenway to go walking, because I'm not from here, right, didn't know, and so she suggested the Greenway. So I was like, "Cool, that's great." So we got to walk and talk and get to know each other, like better than the movie theater where you just have to sit there and be quiet, right? And you can't talk and have conversations, right? Who does that? So it's great. It's a great first time hanging out. You could say a first date, right? But we're getting to talk and get to know each other, and it's great. Great for me, great for her, right? But not great for her family. They were in a mess. Why? Well, I'll tell you. Details matter, right? So at the time, we were both at WCU. My name is Chris, right? My last name, can anybody pronounce it? Some of you can, but a lot of people can't, right? It's been butchered. It's been said so many different ways, with a Q, with a C-U, it's Chufo. So it's pronounced Chufo. You're welcome, right? It's Italian, right? You just say it like you read it. Not really, right? It's crazy. Anyways, people say it all different ways. Well, it just so happened to be at the same time that we were enrolled at WCU, there was another Chris, an infamous Chris, that liked to do illegal stuff and sell illegal things and all around the campus of WCU, right? And so they're trying to figure out this Chris that had a really weird name. This gentleman, his name is Chris with a really weird name. So they're like putting two to two together. They're like, "This isn't good." They can't get a hold of Lindsay because her phone is in the car, and so they're trying to get a hold of her. This is life before Life 360, where you could track your children, right? So they're kind of all really getting worried and getting all worked up. Ended up being okay, right? We ended up the end of that date, or that our time together, we did a little Bible study together, and now we've been married for almost 15 years, 6 kids, so it's great. The story ended great. And it was always good for me. It was always good for Lindsay, but not for the parents, right? Because they had the wrong details. There was some worry going on, right? Because details matter. The same thing when we're in the Word of God, when we're reading the Word of God, when we're studying God's Word, the details matter. Who's at the center of the Scriptures? Who's the hero? Who's the Savior and Redeemer? Right? Who's going to fulfill our lives? Who's going to give us meaning and significance and purpose? It's God and God alone. So we don't want to add to, and we don't want to take away from, right? Because we're entrusted to pass this story along. We've been entrusted to share this story. So knowing the story, it matters. And the details, it matters. So it's important. It's important that we dig into the Word of God. It's important that we study the Word of God. That's why as a church, right, for several years now, we have a church-wide reading plan so that we can engage in God's Word. We can encourage, no matter where you are, jump into the Word of God, right? That we can point you somewhere to continue to jump into God's Word and study it. And then we say, "Hey, don't just do that, but get into accountable relationships. Get into small group, right? Find someone a little bit further along and study the Word together in accountable relationships and see how God will do a mighty work, right? How God will continue to reveal truth to your heart, will continue to encourage you in your walk, and continue to meet you right there in the Scriptures." And we see that all throughout Exodus. We see the Scriptures, right? Where it's saying in Exodus 7, it says, "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and against the sons of Israel in their midst." In chapter 12, it says that, "And you shall observe this event and the ordinance for you and your children forever. You shall tell your sons on that day, in chapter 13, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Again, in Deuteronomy 4, 9, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. We've got to be in the Word, right? We've got to be continually in the Word, continuing to study, because we so easily forget. We so easily forget all the things that God has done, all that He has promised, all that He's given to us. And left to our own, right? Our own thoughts and feelings and ways, we so easily drift away and forget. I heard it said like this, that don't let the good news become old news. Don't allow the good news become old news in your hearts and in your lives. Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That it is God's word. It is the story, right, of creation to Christ to His return. It is God's truth, that is instruction of how we are to discipline, to instruct, to raise our children all the days of their lives. And so we see, right? We see that from chapter 10, that the Lord God said that, go to Pharaoh, right? I have hardened his heart that God would perform these signs that you may tell in the hearing of your son. So we have to know the story because we're entrusted to repeat that story, to share that story, to share the truth. And we do that. Why? Thank you for asking. It's to know the storyteller, right? It's not just to know the story, but the desire is to know the author of the story, to know God Himself. We see that in verse 2. It says that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandsons how I made a mockery of the Egyptians, how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord, that I am Yahweh, that you would know. So the reason behind the story, the reason behind telling the story and studying the story and knowing the story is that we can not just pass it on, but that we want and hope and pray that they will also know the author of the story, that they would know God Himself, that they would know Yahweh. Because as we read the story, as we know the story is going to reveal something to us. The story is going to reveal the character of God. The story is going to reveal that God is the hero, that He's the centerpiece of all of it. We see in this story of the Exodus, right? In Exodus of Israelites out of Egypt, we see God's sovereignty over creation. So as we continue to know the story, we get to see the character of God. We see His justice and His judgment. We see His power over false idols. Pastor Jason did a great job last week of sharing that and hitting, you know, the different plagues they were false gods of the Egyptians. And we see that God is triumphing over them, right? It said He made mockery over the Egyptians. So He has power over false gods, but also that He is patient and merciful. We see his mercy and His patience as we continue to know the story and read the story. We also see His protection over His people, over the nation of Israel, right? He makes a distinct point to as He's throwing plagues, right? And he's causing this chaos, that He's protecting His people. That He has an ultimate authority over rulers. Though Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler of the time, you know, didn't hold a chance against our God. So we see his power over those things, his call for obedience, and most importantly, right, God's power to redeem, the redeeming work of God through this story. And so as we know the story, right, We get to know the storyteller. We get to know the author. We get to know God himself through the scriptures. And as we know him, we love him. As we know him, we love him. We know we can trust him. We know we can obey him. We can surrender everything to him. Like, that's the ultimate goal, right? To know God himself, to know our creator, to be in relationship with him. We see this beautifully illustrated in Exodus 18, right? Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. All the hardship that had fallen on them on the journey and how the Lord had delivered them. Said that Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness that the Lord had done in Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh and who delivered you from under the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven them. They dealt proudly against the people." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and he sacrificed it to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat the meal with Moses' father-in-law before God. We see as he's telling this story, right? As Jethro's father-in-law is hearing this and seeing it in the eyes and the life of Moses as he's recounting all of God's faithfulness, all that God has done. You know, Jethro comes to faith, right? And he's worshiping God. And he's saying, "Now I know this is the one true God." And that's the reason, right? That's the hope. That's why we do the hard thing of digging into the word, right? Of studying God's word, of studying his truth, of finding the true meaning. The gospel connection of the promises, the pointing them to Christ so that they would see God for who he is. They would know his character. They would know his goodness. They would know his redemption. They would know the cross of Christ and respond and know God for themselves, to know them in a personal and intimate way. And that's my third point, is to know your story, right? So we know the story. We know the story so we can know the storyteller, most importantly, to then know your story. Where do you, right? Have you experienced salvation in Jesus Christ? Do you have a testimony? Do you know your story? Has there been a time in your life that you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? There was a great exodus, right, for the nation of Israel. There was a great story and a great message that pointed Israelites to who they were. They were God's people, right? Where did they come from? They came out of captivity, out of Egypt, out of slavery, right? And they were going into a promised land. Who were they? What were they doing this for the glory of God, right? Who are we? We are enslaved to the sin and the things and the flesh of our lives, the things of this world. We're in captivity. Has there been a great exodus? Has God delivered you from your sin, from that guilt, right? There's a great exodus in Christ Jesus that we have. We have the same story to tell, and we've been entrusted with that. Your testimony, right? You've been entrusted with that story. The story of salvation became songs of salvation. As you read the Psalms, right? You can read Psalm 78 and Psalm 105 and others alike it, where they are singing and shouting praises. They're worshiping God and giving thanks for what he has done in their lives. And that's who we are called to be. That's who we are called to be. God's chosen, right? The people of God. Right? Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you're wondering, what is your first step? It's to know if you have a story of salvation. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered everything to the Lord, believing in him as your Savior, your Lord, the one true God? Have you trusted him with your eternity, with all of your dreams, with all of your sin and all of your shame? Have you laid it all down? Have you trusted in him? And if you have, right, that we are called to continue to be people of the word, continue to study the word of God, to continue to know the word of God, to continue to be in God's word and of God's word and proclaiming God's word. And we do that in word and in deed. It's our responsibility to share, right, to share our stories. And so three applications that I want to leave you with. Application number one is don't rewrite the story to make ourselves the hero. God is the center of the story. He is the center of the scripture, right? It is pointing to God. So don't rewrite the stories and place us or place yourself as the hero of the story. Application number two, teach your children how God came through in your life. Share your story. They need to hear it. They need to see it. They need to see it lived out. They need to see faith in action, trusting and believing, right? They need to see that. So we need to retell of God's faithfulness time and time again because it ministers to our heart, but also it's for the benefit of those around, right? That scripture where it said to tell in the hearing of the sons and the daughters, that same language is to tell in the ears of your son and your grandsons. Excuse me, sons and grandsons, right? It's the same language to say in the ears, that they need to hear it. That's one of our number one roles as parents, as the body, is to tell and retell the story to our sons and our grandsons. And maybe you don't have children, or maybe your children are grown, or maybe you feel like you've missed it. Listen, what's the character of God? As we looked at many of the characteristics, but he is redeeming God. So he can redeem even the brokenness of our moments, even the times where we've missed it. It's okay. And it's actually a beautiful picture of the gospel when we go to our children and say, I'm sorry, I've missed it. I've messed up. Will you forgive me? And we point them to Christ. We point them to a father who will never leave them nor forsake them, who will never fall short in ministering to their needs. So teaching our children how God came through in our own lives, right? Telling of God's faithfulness. And know what? We have about 100 children in captivity in the Kingdom Kids, right? On Sundays and Wednesdays. So if your children are gone, that's another opportunity that you can go and minister to them. And we are always looking for them because, man, it's a beautiful picture to see all those children and to be able to, like, we are responsible. But most importantly, parents, listen, most importantly, you are the most influential disciple maker for your children. Mom and dad are number one. Grandparents are the next in line. Aunts and uncles and siblings are next in line. As student pastor, I don't make top 10. And that's okay. That is not how God designed it. But also I know that there are Pauls that have ministered to Timothys, right? That there are relationships in the church fills in the gaps where society and this world and the flesh have broken those chains, right? And so there are redemptive stories in many ways, but parents, it is our responsibility to whisper the truth of God's promises and faithfulness in the ears of our children. Because the reality is, if you don't, the world is. We know that. The world is whispering through all sorts of avenues into the lives of our children, in their ears. And it's ministering to their heart. And we see that brokenness all around us. Don't let someone else take your spot. Don't let someone else whisper into your children's ears. And listen, if there's still breath in your lungs, there's still hope. God can redeem. God is more powerful than anything in this world. I've seen it in my life. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you too. And last but not least, right? Don't just know what God did, but know who he is. Don't just know of the stories. Don't just know of the scriptures, but know him personally and intimately. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can know God and have that relationship. And then every day, right? His mercies renew every day, right? That his word is living and active. So every day, I've heard it said like this, there's a God-sized hole in our heart that only God can fulfill. But what I believe is that every day, right, that hole reopens. And every day, we need to be in the word. We need to be in relationship. We need to be in prayer and in worship and continue every day. Feast at the table of the Lord. Every day, fill our hearts with God's truth and promises so that we can do that for our children. We can continue to fill their hearts with truth, right? With God's love and his mercy, right? To understand his judgment, right? To understand all the characteristics of God. And so as we close, as we go into this time of response, we got to know the story. Being people of the word. Get into the word. Have a plan. Continue to get into the word. Right? So that you can know God. Discovering God's truth and his character and his faithfulness throughout the scriptures. Falling in love with him again and again and again. And knowing your story. You've been entrusted with a beautiful testimony for you to share with your family, with your coworkers, with your classmates, right? And everyone that you encounter. And continue to dig into the word of God and make and carve out that time in your life, like Deuteronomy 6, as we go, as we lie, as we rise, as we sit around the table, as we go in the car, right? All the areas, capitalize, use those opportunities to share of God's faithfulness, to retell God's promises, God's truth. And remember, God's the hero. He's our cornerstone, right? We continue to exalt and magnify him because he is faithful. Would you respond to him at however God's leading in these moments as we go into a time of response and worship, respond to the Lord. Knowing that he is faithful and that he is good. Please stand, and I'm going to pray for us. Father God, we, Lord, are grateful. God, grateful for your faithfulness. God, for your goodness, for your grace. God, thank you that your word is living and active. God, thank you that, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can anchor our heart and our soul, God. You are not here to play games with us, but God, that you have so much in store for your children. So God, as we go into a time of response, God, help us, God. Reveal in our hearts, convict us, God, maybe where there's, Lord, sin or passivity or whatever it may be, God. Help us, God, to give thanks, Lord, as we reflect and remember your faithfulness and your goodness and your grace in our lives, God, that help us not to allow the good news, God, become old news. Help us to always make much of you. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.